Today on Real Radio.
God has provided a Savior, Jesus, Paul says. And you mention Jesus and people, I love it. Man, the world is not apathetic about Jesus. Have you noticed that? Mention anybody else, there's no big deal. Mention Jesus, people wig out. Mention Jesus and people have to be brought to a decision.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 13. Remember, this is where the gospel began to be spread into the known world, outside of the Jewish homeland. In other words, the day of the Gentiles had finally arrived. But Paul was not yet through with his own people, as the text indicates. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called A Clear and Present Gospel.
And so he's preaching the message to them. He's starting with their heritage. And he comes to verse 23 and he says, for this man's seed, from this man's gena, from this man's genetic makeup will come Messiah. And all of the Jews in the synagogue went, yeah, that's right. That's right. This guy is telling it like it is. He's sticking right to the facts. From this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior. And everyone goes, in the synagogue, he did? He did? Who is he? And you see that little dash there in your Bible? Paul goes, and God raised up a Savior? Past tense. Jesus. He declares the name of Jesus Christ, where there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. It is who he is. His name means God has become our salvation. Jesus. And they had heard of the stories of Jesus Christ, no doubt, of his fame and of his controversy. But he declares Jesus and gives them the word. Listen to this now. Verse 24. After John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John was finishing his course, by the way, John was the last prophet of the Old Testament. John the Baptist was the last prophet of the Old Testament. John said, who do you think I am? Who do you think I am? I am not he, but behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. He's making reference to Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. And here from verses 26 to 41, where we'll spend our remaining time, is here God, after giving the promise, now provides the deliverance for mankind and sin. And Paul is declaring the message in the synagogue. Paul had to share this news because it had so wonderfully affected him. Remember, Paul was riding on the donkey and got knocked off that donkey and met Jesus Christ. He was so fired up, man, he was absolutely couldn't wait to declare this news. Friday night, we were up in some conference center in Idlewild somewhere, and we spoke to a college and career group for Calvary Chapel there, and we spoke on losing the wonder. Have you lost the wonder? And one of the things that the Lord had me put down in my notes is, are you used to being a Christian? And that really convicted me. I'm writing my notes, I'm typing them on my computer, and God puts it in my heart. Are you used to being a Christian? And I stopped for a moment. I said, God, I hope I never get used to being a Christian. Can you imagine? How are you this morning? Mention Jesus Christ. Hey, ra. Sis, boom, ba. Right on. Or listen, is the name of Jesus Christ a strong tower that the righteous run into it and they are glad and they are safe? God has provided a Savior, Jesus, Paul says. and you mention Jesus and people, I love it. Man, the world is not apathetic about Jesus. Have you noticed that? Mention anybody else, it's no big deal. Mention Jesus, people wig out. Mention Jesus and people have to be brought to a decision. Why? It is Jesus alone, not Buddha. It wasn't Muhammad. It wasn't Joseph Smith. It wasn't Billy Graham or anybody else who hung on the cross. It was Jesus. The Savior is Jesus Christ, and through him comes the redemption of lost mankind. And we ought to get excited about it. We wake up, yeah, I'm a Christian. Man, listen, we ought to be pumped up. Chances are, if you're not excited about Jesus Christ, you do not have a personal devotional life with God. You come Sunday and you come Wednesday and you just sit and you just take it in, and that's okay. But listen, what are you doing the rest of the week? What are you taking in? Are you meeting him personally? The word describes to us that we need to be intimate with him. And you can't do it in an arena like this. You've got to do it alone. Jesus, every day in your life. That's the only way he'll have it. But look what he says in verse 26. He says, men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. He clumps together all forms of people. You of Israel, you Hebrews, you Hebrews who are practicing Judaism, you Jews. You Gentiles who are practicing Judaism. Anyone who fears God, listen. And then he puts a qualifying statement that is just an absolute blanket statement. He says, anyone who fears God. And listen, that's what I want to drive home for the remainder of our time. The word anyone who fears God means anyone who's inclined to listen to the things of God. You may or may not be a Christian this morning. You may or may not have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. But listen, are you willing to hear the things of God? Paul says, I want to talk to you. Isn't that neat? I want to include you into my message, he's saying. It's embracing everyone who's present. It doesn't matter if you're a religious man or a non-religious man. He wants to have your heart. The Bible, the gospel, Jesus, so to speak, is open house. I love that. You see the sign out down your street, and there's little flags blowing in the wind, and it says open house, and people are just trekking in and out. You know, I'm sure that people love it, but, you know, there are people going in and out. The gospel is for you to come and to experience, and you may be sitting here this morning thinking, you know what, I can't wait for this to be over. I don't really believe in the gospel. I don't really care about it. I don't really think about it. But listen, why do you think that way? Why do you feel that way? Are you resisting the gospel of Jesus Christ because of what someone has done to you? Are you resisting the gospel of Jesus Christ because of something that's happened to you or with you? And we've asked you many times before, there's not one thing that you can generate that is a question or a comment or a complaint about Jesus that will hold any water. In fact, I mean this from the depths of my heart. If you have a reason why you cannot be a Christian today and you think it's valid, have the heart, have the belief in what you do believe in to write it down and send it to me and give me your reason. I'm very curious because there's nothing that you can generate. There's nothing that you can blame God on that why you will not come to know Jesus and go to heaven. There's nothing you could produce. You watch the news right now. My goodness, this weekend, you know, half of California seems to be floating away. And the guy in the news says, when are these acts of God going to stop? Acts of God? God gets the bum rap on everything. It's the acts of Adam. That's what's going on. That doggone fruity bit messed everything up. Besides, they teach you to talk to snakes, too. Don't talk to snakes. Eve got duped. Adam came, went with her. Whole thing went down the tube. And the storms that have been coming by and washing us away, you can thank Adam for those things. Don't blame God. You see, there's not one accusation that you can bring against the God of heaven that will justify the reason why you're not a Christian. It won't hold any water. It won't work. This salvation, he says in verse 26, you ought to circle that in your Bible. It says, to you, the word of this salvation is sent. What an excellent way to deliver a message. He's saying, hey, you guys, this message has come for you. This is for you today. And it's for us. This salvation is the gospel. What is the gospel? Jot it down in your notes alongside there, verse 26, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. What is the gospel? Moreover, brethren, I declare to you, the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received, in which you do stand. 1 Corinthians 15, 2. By which also you were saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached, unless you have believed in vain. And here it comes. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I've received from Jesus Christ, that Christ died for our sins, according to the, what? Oprah Winfrey? Geraldo. Phil Donahue. The Inquirer. No. According to the Bible, the Scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen by Peter, and then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at one time, of whom many are still with us until this day. Isn't that great? I don't believe it. Can you imagine in Paul's day, I'm preaching to you the gospel. Somebody in the back goes, I don't believe it. Well, really? Paul could have said, how many of you saw Jesus when he rose from the dead? Why don't you raise your hand? There'd be like 25 people in this particular room raise their hand. Paul says, go talk to them about it if you don't believe me. Wouldn't that have been fun to do? I'm telling you right now that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He's enthroned in heaven forever. He lives for us. He died for us. We're going to heaven because of who he is. And I'm telling you to come to Christ. What do you want me to do? Strap a stake under my face here and come and get it. It's eternal life we're talking about here. Wait a minute, Harriet. I think they want our money. Oh, man, we don't want your money. In fact, if this is not your church and you put money in the offering, see me afterward, you can have it back. We don't want it. We don't need it. We are ambassadors for Christ, as Paul said, pleading with you to come to him. Accept him. It's not this place. It's not this church. You can't become a member here. We don't have a membership. You come to Christ. But Paul delivers the gospel, and it is the gospel alone. And there are people you can ask today as a witness. You know, back then they had the living witnesses that were walking. You know what? You can't use that as an excuse. Well, I need to talk to somebody who saw him. Hey, listen, I got something better than that. How do you explain the changed lives that are in this room? And I took a moment, I jotted some things down, cried a bit when I wrote it down because it touched my heart, reminded me of some things that I'm thankful for. But when I came to Jesus Christ, the day prior to about 8:30 that night on June 22nd, 1977, I was living for myself because myself was all I had. I was afraid of failure. I was afraid of being rejected. So because of that, I played football. I played football hard because I didn't want to be rejected. When I did whatever I did it all the way because I didn't want to be rejected. When I ran as fast as I could because I didn't want to be rejected. When I was involved in relationships, I did the best I could because I didn't want to be rejected. I had fear in my life. And if you would have looked at me on the outside, I had a big car. I was making a lot of money. I was totally buffed, working out all the time. Why? Because of fear. I had to have that. Go after the best looking girl because you have to have that. Because you don't want to fail. You don't want to be rejected. And all my life growing up, I was afraid of being rejected. And don't tell me you don't have that fear or had that fear. I can honestly tell you that you want a witness concerning the power of Jesus Christ? Let's get together over some coffee or something or In-N-Out and we'll talk about it. Because I want to tell you something. Back in those days also, I could not approach anyone. I stuttered so bad. My speech was so messed up for all my life. And when I came to Jesus Christ, I found out finally, unconditionally, once and for all, He loved me. Not because I was something, but because I was a loser. And I didn't look like one, but inside I knew I was one. And you see, I cannot fail anymore. I can't fail because the one in whom I want to impress, I've already been accepted by. He's received me by his grace. I'm going to heaven because of what he's done. I can walk in front of you and if I fall down and slip and fall, I don't care. If I fall out in the parking lot, I don't care. I'm accepted by him. Part of the comfort comes, there's nothing I can do in this world and in your life that will ever make me acceptable in your sight. I know that. There's nothing I can do. Jack, don't say that. We love you. And I love you too. But don't put your eggs in a basket unless God's carrying that basket. There's only one. God has made me accepted in the beloved, that is Jesus. I don't have anything to prove to you. I got up at 3 o'clock this morning. I got up at 11:55, 2:15, and 2:058. Stayed up at 3 because I was so excited because I didn't want to do this message in injustice, not in front of you, but because of God. It doesn't matter to me. As long as in the final day, like with you, we stand before him and God says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know what we're going to do? Yes! We're going to just go, yes. Oh. And that's scriptural because in Zephaniah, the book of Zephaniah, when's the last time you read that book? It says there that God, when we get to heaven, will spin about you with joy and singing. We're going to get into heaven and God's going to go, yippee, man, you're here. I never thought you'd make it. No, I'm kidding. I'm so glad you're here, and I'm going to be saying, I'm glad to be here. He goes, no, I'm glad to have you here. You're glad to have me here? Yes, I've been waiting for eternity to have you here. Come here, let me show you around. You think you're going to have to stand in line to talk to God? What reason do you have for rejecting Jesus Christ? You might say, well, I'm not rejecting him. Well, let me ask you this. Have you received him? The Bible says if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and confess that fact with your mouth that he's Lord, you will be saved. Have you done that? There's so much to talk about and teach regarding this truth. Verse 27, for to those who dwell in Jerusalem and the rulers, because they did not know him. Do you know him? Nor even the voice of the prophets, that is their Bible that they had in front of them, the Old Testament, which was read every Sabbath day there in synagogue, they have fulfilled by condemning him, and that is to death. Look at verse 30. They killed him, they buried him, but God raised him from the dead. Isn't that wonderful? And I love verse 31. I read commentaries on this. Nobody picked up on it, which probably means it's heresy. So listen up carefully because I got this out of it. Verse 31 says, he was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And I circled in my Bible, he was seen for many days by those who, quote, or parentheses, came up with him. The day Jesus rose from the dead, I came up with him. The day he rose from the dead, my salvation was set in him. To all who will receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The qualifying act is that you must receive him. And by closing, I want you to think about this. Paul is going to lay out four Old Testament scriptures here that are going to be just the facts. Verse 33, verse 34, verse 35, and verse 41. Just the facts. Why does he do this? Why does he encourage them? Why does he preach? Because man must make a choice, must make a decision. And I want to end with this thought. The world right now is picketing and promoting and carrying banners, and they're saying, freedom of choice. Freedom of choice. Have you noticed that? Freedom of choice. Let me ask you something. Has God given us the freedom of choice? Absolutely. Can you do anything you want to do? Absolutely. You can if you want. Freedom of choice. And I find it extremely interesting that the very people, the very institution, the Jewish religious leaders who condemned Jesus to death, listen now, follow the logic. When Jesus was born, Herod said to them, where does the scriptures say that the Messiah now, Savior of the world, is to be born? What was their response? They said, in Bethlehem, according to the prophet Micah, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. A 600-year-old prophecy before Jesus was born. The religious leaders quoted the verse to Herod, and Herod said, so I can go and worship him. Yeah, right, with a knife. Remember that? They knew the answer. They knew the answer to the question. Where's Messiah going to be born? In Bethlehem. Did they follow him? No, they didn't. Did they know the answer? Yes, they did. Here's the point. Jesus was provided. Jesus was given. The decision must be made. Whenever the gospel is presented, a decision must be made. Paul is pleading with them to accept Christ. And the sobering thought is this: we have freedom of choice. Now listen to me. You want that freedom of choice. So God gives it to you and says, choose Christ. If you choose Christ, you have eternal life. And I know what I'm going to say is unpopular, but it's tough. Jesus says, you choose Christ, you have eternal life. You do not choose Christ, you have eternal damnation. You have hell. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. It's either heaven, Jesus said, or hell, Jesus said. And none of us like to hear about that. But yet that's the gospel. And all of a sudden you get mad. I don't like that. Why? You see, we are responsible for the decisions we make in this life. It doesn't matter what your sociology teacher is telling you, your psychology teacher is telling you. The fact of the matter is, we are responsible for our decisions. Jesus Christ has come to give us eternal life. What's your decision on that?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called A Clear and Present Gospel, a look at verses 13 through 41 of the book of Acts chapter 13. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more. Now that we're in November, we'd like to remind you about the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference in January. Now, we realize that since fall is upon us and the year begins to wind down, we all think of the changing weather, the holidays, all of that which occurs this time of year. But if you haven't yet registered for the Prophecy Conference, just pay a brief visit to SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. Very easy to use. In fact, there's a brief video presentation by Pastor Jack where he tells you more about the event. SoCalProphecyConference.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us by telephone, call toll-free 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.